want to encourage you with this. It doesn't, it's not a part of my message, but this is just a little journal somebody gave me. And you know what? I just write one little thing in it every day. And this is my grateful book. I'm thankful. And so every day I write something in it that I'm thankful for. And I just wanted to encourage you to do that. I know we journal and we write a lot of things. I write down my thoughts in other journals. But this one's only for that. And it's right there by my secret place. And so, you know, after you thank God for, you know, your church and your family and all that you have, you start thanking Him for the little things. You start looking for little things to thank Him for. And it's so neat just to thank Him for a simple thing that you saw or you had or you got to see somebody downtown. Lord, I thank You that I got to see them today. Or I thank You that, whatever. Anyway, get you one of these and just do that. I just challenge you to do that every day. Some kind of little journal. You can get them anywhere. I want you to turn in your Bibles today to Zechariah chapter 9. Thank you guys, Pastor Lindell, so much. We miss Debbie. She's in Nashville. Debbie, if you're watching, God bless you and the girls. She's there just enjoying family. The cat's away. The mice play. We're going to try to make Lindell behave. So, we miss you, Debbie. You did a great job, too, when you ministered to us. Well, as many of you know, Passover started last night at sundown, and it will go until April 4th, next Sunday on Easter. Now, the Jews celebrate their coming out of Egypt's bondage when they had the blood of the lamb, a physical little four-legged lamb. They put the blood over the doorpost, and they ate the lamb. And so they walked out, and when they ate the lamb, it blessed them. Their shoes didn't wear out. There wasn't one feeble among them. And so they celebrate leaving Egypt and leaving the bondage of Pharaoh. So that's why their Passover started last night. They walked out in the middle of the night, and they, you know, they were on a 40-year journey. It didn't have to be that way. It could have been 11 days. That's what God had planned. But they went round and round in that wilderness because of their rebellion. I'll stop right there lest I get carried away with that Old Testament meaning of Passover. We come into the New Testament. Jesus was getting ready to die that night. The Bible says on this, in the evening He had dinner with the disciples. And it was probably the Shabbat, a dinner or the Seder. And they had a Passover meal with Jesus. And He said, this is the last time that we're going to do this until you have this drink and this bread in heaven with Me. We will have communion again. But He said, from now on, you won't celebrate Passover with the blood of that lamb. You will celebrate the Passover with the blood of this lamb, for He is the lamb. And when John saw Him, his cousin, had never seen Him before, and John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so that's why we celebrate Passover, and we will have communion Friday morning. And we will have communion on Easter Sunday. So be here. It's going to be a very special time. But with that said, you know what, Dee? Just take this away. I'm afraid if I get with my notes, we'll be here all day. So I think I just want to go here with Zechariah and let the Bible just speak for itself, because the whole story is right here. But when you think of where we've been, you guys, I mean, for this past year with that deadly pandemic, and you and I are still grieving, Brother Randy, and Maureen, and Helen, and we pray for their families, and we took a big hit. 25 of us had the pandemic. I mean, we got COVID. And we survived, but it was a terrible, terrible thing. It was dark, and it was lonely, and it was quiet, especially when you're in the house alone. You don't know whether you're going to wound up in the hospital. You don't know if you're going to make it. Friends of ours had it. My pastor's friends, his wife had it. She was in the hospital 7 days and seven nights, and she really thought she was not going to make it. But somehow she did. I want to say, Stacy, my prayers are always with you, honey. Always with you and the children. I never forget you. But there was just so much in the past year and a half, with not to even mention that pandemic. And then we had to wear the mask. We're still wearing masks. The little ones are going to school 2 to 3 hours a day with a mask. Little Gracie and Caitlin just told me that not only do they wear a mask, but they have a plexiglass around their desk. And we were shut up, shut down, and shut in the house for a while. And then you and I chose to come back. We opened our church on Pentecost Sunday. That's the day the Holy Spirit came in. And we opened our church along with many others, but many others are still shut down. And one of the things that I despise about COVID is it has separated many of God's people from the church. Now, you may not want to admit that, but some of you at home, you've been separated from God's house. You say, Pastor, don't you know we are the body of Christ? Yes, we are the body, and we ought to hang together. We must. If you're not hanging out with us, who are you hanging out with? This is the only place that we come to worship and gather together. Sheep stay together. It's called a flock. So if I hurt my finger, I don't cut it off and it goes hang out by itself out there. It stays with this body. So it's a very clever and intelligent thing to do is to stay with the body of Christ. And not to mention if you do mind, I'll probably say it anyway, but the illegal election. The illegal election and the illegitimate president that's in that office right now that doesn't know if it's day or night. Says, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to take questions? I'll take them if I should. It's just sad, church. And if anyone wants to strike America, this would be the time to do it. Well, you've got a weakling in the office, and we don't really know what that's about. But it's about something. Write it down. It is about something. But I believe God is going to put a shame on the devil. And I believe that he's going to reverse, and all these masks that we wore, I believe he's going to muzzle hell. And I believe he's going to turn that mask back on, and he's going to slap it on the devil and his imps. And the truth is going to come out. You and I are surrounded with enemies trying to take out the absolute truth. See, if you look at the world, there is no truth today. And you don't even want to talk about absolutes. Don't even go to absolute truth. Now, truth, they might let you by with that, but not much. Why? Because Jesus said, now I'm going away in John. And he said, it's very expedient for you that I do go away because I am sending another comforter just like me. And he said, he is the spirit of truth. We talk a lot about the Antichrist, but I think there's an anti-Holy Spirit, an anti-truth, because the church is full of truth, and we are the truth, that we speak the truth, and he's done everything he can to shut us up. But I believe there is a blessing upon the churches and upon the pastors and upon the people who will speak the truth without fear. It's okay, church. Say it. Why did some in the body of Christ believe that abortion's okay? Why did some believe that the homosexual issue and transgender and all of this is all right? Why would anyone think that in the body of Christ? There's been some division there. But let's just look at this word, because you know I told you this over and over, and some can get it and some can't. But according to the book of Joel, it says, in the last days, there will be a great falling away and a great outpouring all in the same month. A lot of things are going to happen in a 24-hour period. So I want us to look at Zechariah 9. You say, Pastor, it's Palm Sunday. I know, and we're going there. But we're going to stay in Zechariah chapter 9. Verse 1, look at this. Israel's totally surrounded by enemies. I mean, they've been in darkness just like you and I have. It's just been a bad deal for Israel. So I think that Zechariah goes, he's prophetic. He is in the now. At first, he starts out in the now telling them where we are. And then he prophesies. And then after he prophesies, he brings it back into the now. And then he puts it back in the future for us. Okay, you with me? Are you with me? Thank you. All right, let's go. So the burden of the word of the Lord, Zechariah 9:1, the burden of the word of the Lord against the land of Hadrach, Damascus, its resting place, for the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel are on the Lord. Also against Hamath, which borders on it, and against Tyre and Sidon, though they are very wise. Okay, let me say, what did all that say? It said the word of the Lord, the burden. He titles this chapter, The Burden of the Word of the Lord. Can I tell you that this word that I am bringing you this morning has a heavy weight on it? It's very heavy. You all that ministered, you know the weight of the word. And those of you that carry the word to work, are these kids try to bring out a word at school, just a word of truth? You know this word is heavy, don't you, Brother Taylor? It's heavy. It has a weight on it. But to those who do not believe, or those who disregard this word and dishonor it, can I tell you it's a weight on them too? They may not want to hear what you have to say, but if they have any Sunday school in them at all, they know good and well that this is a heavy, heavy word that's on them. So he prophesies, as I told you many times, there is going to be justice, judgment, and blessing all going on at the same time. Now, for years I've based that on Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, my glory will be seen upon you. So when darkness is on the earth, gross darkness of people is just getting really, really gross. Lori sent me this article yesterday. Brother Roman sent me the same one about Nike is putting out these tennis shoes in the name of the devil, in the name of Satan. Has a drop of human blood on each one. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The article was just unbelievable. And so when God says there's going to be judgment, write it down, folks. There's going to be judgment. Everything he ever said came to pass. And when he said there's going to be a blessing, guess what? There is going to be a blessing. There's a curse and there's a blessing. He said, choose the blessing. That's better. So the burden of the word of the Lord. And then that next word says against. Whew. When God speaks, you don't want him to say anything against. It says against the land of Hadrach. That means the modern day Syria. And Damascus, where they rest. That's a resting place full of wealth. Full of wealth. And then it looks like he changes the subject if you're looking at it above. It says, for the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel are where? Is it above? Are you reading it? The eyes are where? They're upon the Lord. All the eyes and all the tribes of Israel, the people of God, Israel. Because the hand of the Lord in judgment is against Syria, Damascus, and Hadrach, because God prophesied that. Oh, I wish I had a lot of time this morning. Over in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, you would see Isaiah almost said those very words. God is going to destroy Hadrach and Damascus. He's going to tear them down, and Tyre will be no more. That's what he said. But it says the eyes of men of all the tribes of Israel on the Lord. You say, Pastor, what's that saying? Well, I'm just telling you, when things get like this, there's many whose eyes start to focus on the Lord. This is what's good about all this stuff. It brings a lot of people to refocus, and our eyes get on the Lord. See, this is what's happening right now. But then he goes back and tells you the rest. And then he says, oh, also, I'm also against Hamath, which borders on it, and against Tyre and Sidon. Though, look at this, though they are very wise. Though they are very wise. Now, in Romans chapter 1, remember last week when it talked about women doing unnatural things with women and men, the things that were not meant for a man but for a woman? It said they were thinking themselves to be wise, but they become fools. You look at the governor of New York, the governor of California, some of the folks in Washington think themselves to be wise. But they have literally become fools. I watched Governor Cuomo getting into a car the other day. Now he's had his eighth, unless somebody else has said something, accusation against him. And they ask him, what are you going to do? And he had this big old smile on his face. And he said, nothing. I'm going to keep governing like I am. No shame. Thinks himself to be wise, but he's become a fool. Now, God is against this, church. Don't you be fooled. God is watching this mess. And he's also seeing us whose eyes have stayed upon him. He's watching the churches who have opened, and he's watching the ones that are still closed. And to those that said, we want no part of him, we don't want you speaking in tongues, we don't want the Holy Spirit, we don't believe in divine healing, he may just close the doors. You didn't want me there anyway. Verse 3 says, Tyre built herself a tower. That's what the nation of Tyre did. She built herself a tire, and a tower, and she heaped up silver like dust and gold like the mire of the streets. Now, King Solomon, the Bible said he was the wealthiest man in the world. And King Solomon heaped up such silver. The Bible says that the silver and the gold in Jerusalem became like the stones of Jerusalem. There was so much, the silver and gold. There was such prosperity out of his kingdom that it was like the stones of Jerusalem, which was a lot. But these guys were even wealthier than that. It says, we just read it, Tyre built a tower and heaped up silver like dust. That's a lot of silver. And the gold was like mire of the streets. It really just became nothing. I mean, so much gold, it was just everywhere, and everybody got used to it and accustomed to it. But God said, no, I see. You're wealthy and you're happy, and you think yourself to be wise, but you've become fools. Verse 4 says, behold, the Lord will cast her out. He will destroy her power. Where? In the sea. This reminds me of New York City. New York City is surrounded by the sea. He will destroy her power in the sea, and she will be devoured by fire. Isaiah 17:1 said the very same thing, and it's happening right here. Zechariah said, I saw it happening. And then we'll just skip down, because he dealt with all that, and he devoured them with fire. You say, how could they be devoured by fire when the sea was right there and they had plenty of water? Well, it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it is by God's Spirit. So however he wants to deal with it, he does it like that. In a moment, he doesn't ask anybody what they think. He did not have to ask them. Now listen, when you're covered like this, where I'm taking you, every gun in America could point toward you and wouldn't hit you when you get what I'm about to give you. Look at this. He said, I'm going to cut off the pride of the Philistines in verse 6. I'll cut off their pride. There's so much pride in this world today and in churches that God said, I've just had it with all of it. Many in the church on Super Bowl Sunday, listen, even when I was traveling out on the road years ago, when Super Bowl Sunday came, the pastor would have a TV in the pulpit right here so he could be preaching and look at the game and tell the guys what the score was. While guys were shouting out, "Pastor, don't tell us. Don't tell us the score." They didn't hear a thing he was saying. So we got so caught away in entertainment and football and all these things. God said, "Let me demolish it. I will get it out of there." The movie theaters, the house of God, people on church, ministers of the gospel would be sitting in a movie theater on Saturday night watching who knows what. And church was in the morning. How in the world could they preach the gospel like that? How could their mind be full? I'll tell you how, because they came to church, and many in the church did the same thing. God said, "Let me shut that entertainment down." I mean, God will do anything to get us back, church. He wants his people back. It was about probably 1990. I was called to a church in LA, and they wanted me to do a women's conference. And I was going to have 5 services to do, and I was the only speaker. And I said, okay. And I consented to go. And the Lord gave me a sermon just like this and gave me all 5 messages. And I think that's the first and last time that ever happened, and I was so thankful for it. But he said this: "I do not want to be treated like an unwanted boyfriend. And I want you to prepare the bride when you go there. And I want you talking about preparing the bride. But tell them I don't want it. I'm tired of being treated like an unwanted boyfriend." You know what an unwanted boyfriend is? He's always there. He's got the car. He's got the money. And he's a date. But the girl really doesn't like him. She's using him. Just using him. And God said, "I don't like that. Tell my bride, I love them, but I don't want them treating me like that. When the son's in jail, they come to me. When they need money, they come to me. When they need to pay the bills and they don't have it, they come to me. When they're in trouble, when a loved one dies, oh, they draw close. But I want to be married. I want us to be married to each other. I want us to be intimate. I want them to love being in my presence with me and no other." Doesn't mean you don't love your husband and your children, your family. Just means he says, "I want to be first. Seek my kingdom first. All those things and my righteousness and all those things will be added." Well, let me go on. Well, by the way, you know who God used to destroy all this mess, all these nations? Alexander the Great. He used Alexander the Great because he had the power and he had the strength and he was a powerful man. And he wasn't godly, but God said, "I can use this guy." And he took him out. And then he saw what God did. He saw the hand of God. And when he saw the hand of God, the Bible says he turned to Israel and he said, "I want to run with you. I want to be like you." And so then you see in verse 7 toward the bottom, he says, "But he who remains, even he shall be for our God, shall be like a leader in Israel." He remained. There was a small remnant. Listen, church, listen. There was a small remnant out of all these nations that turned to God. Their eyes were on God and they said, "We want no part of everything they're doing. The evil, the lawlessness, we don't want any part of it." And the Bible says they turned to God. And look what verse 8 says. Let's start here. In verse 8, God's word to his church, "I will camp around my house." Look at me a minute. The people were afraid. They couldn't take anything else, April. They had had it. We could say, "I've had it with a mask. I've had it with the plexiglass around my desk. Even the little kids have had it." I was taking the kids to school the other day, and Ain said, "Nana, we got to wear a mask all day, or it's 2 hours of there." He said they didn't like it. We were afraid. I mean, people are still afraid of COVID. They won't go out in a crowd, or they go many places, but not to church. It's separated. God's people, that was Satan's plan, and people fell into it. But God said, listen. While you are concerned and see everything that those evil nations have done, and you have seen how I had to bring judgment against them. Look how sweet he is right here. Verse 8. I will camp around my house because of the army, because of him who passes by, and him who returns. Oh, no more shall an oppressor pass through them. For now I have seen with my eyes. God said, I've seen what they did to you. And I've seen their motive behind it. I saw the demonic oppression underneath. God said, I've watched how the demons have come to your house and tried to oppress you and press you down and crush you like powder. He said, now my eyes have seen, and I won't put up with it. Not one more minute. God said, I will camp with my people. That's why it's so important that we come together, folks. You sweet people at home, please. Please hear what your pastor's saying. I'm not angry. I'm just saying God camps with us. Together. He didn't call me and my foreign no more. We're going to stay in our little house. He said, I want to camp out with my sweet people. Ah, there's a blessing in a church. You'll see. Oh, I could camp out right there. But there's so much here. Whew. My God, help me, Jesus. He said, I'll camp around my house because of that army out there. That's why I'm doing this, God said, because I'm gonna take care of my babies. I love you. I'm caring for you. You're mine, baby. We're mine. We're together in this thing. We are married. So he said, because of them, and when they pass by and they shake their heads and they threaten you, we're going to do this again, and here comes another wave of COVID, and here comes this. He said, no, no more. No more shall the oppressor pass through you. Nope, he's not. I'm not even going to let him come in. I'm not letting him pass through you. For now I see with my eyes. You say, didn't he see before? Yeah, but when people call out to him, everything goes different. See, that's why we have to pray. Because, man, some things just happen. But he said, I want you to pray. Okay, now, he doesn't necessarily change his subject. But he gives a whole paragraph to the next subject. And he prophesies. And he's telling his people a big old secret. I mean, it's a big thing. And folks, when I tell you to pray, I'm just saying there is a great blessing in prayer. There's a lot of things you don't get if you don't pray. You say, yeah, but God knows it. But he said, pray for rain even when it's raining. I got to go to the beach for the last 4 days because I had to rest my mouth and these... Over here, these two make me laugh too much. And the doctor said, if you laugh, do this. Well, I didn't want to do that, so I did get away. I was looking out over the ocean and the sand and the birds, and it was like being in Genesis. It was all right there. And I said, oh, man. Lord, you just reached out there and you said, all right, I'm setting the boundaries of the sea. You just keep waves, you keep coming, but when you get here, stop. And it just obeyed him for the rest of its life. That's what it did. It just keeps doing it. You and I are in the house this morning, but over at Old Pismo Beach, over at Cayucas, the waves are just, they're just keeping on flowing. And I heard the Lord say, don't be that way. He said, that'll cause bad habits. This is what I'm feeling in my spirit. I'm like, what, Jesus? I'm just blessing you. I'm bragging on you. Yeah, but if you think that way, that I don't have to step out and do anything else, you may not pray. Because, see, things are going okay in your house, but he said, don't forget to pray. Don't just think I set it up just because I said I'm going to camp around my house. Now, I'm going to do that, but pray. Come on, church. All right, let me get to this paragraph. Because we're celebrating Palm Sunday. Woo! Look at this, verse 9. Zechariah 9 and 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. He's talking to Israel. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. What's he saying? He said, Shabbat. Oh, a loud voice. Shout. Will you look at me a minute? I'm going to say something that sounds so fashion and so Pentecostal. But you know what? We need to be louder in this house. Mm-hmm. We need to be louder. Say, Pastor, I'm just not a loud person. Oh, no, let somebody grab one of your kids. We'll see how loud you are. That we need a little Shabbat. Anyway, I'll go on. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming. Where? To you. Now, he was talking about him coming to Jerusalem. But I'm telling you this morning, your king is with you now. He's camping with us. And he came. They were looking about probably 2,000 years or 3,000 years before this happened. But now you and I look back at it. Zechariah's prophesying, but Jesus fulfilled it. Okay, let me read it. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. That means he's going to bring judgment and blessing, judgment and deliverance, judgment and salvation. Everyone will see it. And it describes his character. Look at him. He's lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now it describes his kingdom. He said he's going to have dominion in his kingdom. He has all authority in his kingdom. He has subjects in his kingdom, which are you and me. We are his subjects. And we carry out his plan. And that's why he said, I want to communicate with you. And you and I have to be really close for you to hear what I have to say. So it describes him. Your king is coming. Do you want to see it over in Matthew? Put it on Matthew 21, Kathy. Give me Matthew 21. I just want to show you this. I know we don't have a lot of time to do prophecies and fulfillments, but let me see your, I'll show you fulfillment. Matthew 21 and verse 2, written in red. Go to the village opposite you, he's telling his disciples, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And Jesus said, if anyone asks anything of you, you shall say, the Lord is needed them, and immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, somebody say fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and a foal of the donkey. Now, if you know anything about animals, you know you're not going to sit down on the foal of a donkey. They'll kick you off so fast before you can. You are not going to sit on that animal. But not only did he sit on it, verse 6 says, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. That little donkey and that little colt, a little foal, let those people throw their old clothes because Jesus didn't have a saddle and he didn't have a blanket. Isn't that amazing? This King of Kings and Lord of Lords, precious Jesus, getting ready to die for us, didn't have a blanket even to lay on that little foal. They put their clothes on it and then just, he didn't get red carpet like they do in Hollywood, like they used to do in Hollywood, but God threw them out too. He said, get your red carpet and go home. Jesus didn't get a red carpet. They threw their clothes out and their coats, and their little donkey just knew what to do and walked on by. And you would think that Jesus would have went to the Romans, who wouldn't even let him have a priest. And they said, look, you can have one, but we're going to keep the priest robes up here in our towers. So let us know who it is and we'll give you the priestly robe. And so when Jesus came along, he didn't go to those Romans. You'd think he would have went in there and said, oh, I'm going to tear this tower down. But Jesus went inside the temple. And he said, I do not like what I see in here. And he got in a table flipping mood. And those old tables were made out of the hardest wood in Jerusalem. And he flipped those tables over. And he was shouting, get out, get out. Because those people had turned his house into a den of merchandise instead of a den of prayer or a house of prayer. He said, out, out with all of it. And they were consoling the people and they were making the people feel comfortable. And they were supposed to sacrifice a little animal to God. But oh, they didn't sacrifice it. They brought in little birds, little cheap birds, and sold them to the people. Just sold them to the people. My God. He said, no, no, you're not going to cheat the people like that. You're not going to make them comfortable. See, sometimes when you're in this place and you have to preach a word, it doesn't make people comfortable. It doesn't even make me comfortable. But Jesus said, it is my dominion and it is my power. And I will have it till the ends of the earth. Well, that was prophecy, and he gave a whole paragraph to that. It was prophesied, and it happened. So I tell you, whatever God says, it comes to pass. All right, let me run down here to verse 11 in closing. Brother Tim, did I? Oh, here it is. Thank you. Never mind. Verse 11 says, now he comes back down here to the people he's with. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. The title message today is Return to the Stronghold. I'm telling you, church, it's time we return to the stronghold. Who? You prisoners of hope. All right, stop right there. You prisoners of hope. He said it's because of the blood covenant that God made with you. Good to see you, Sylvia. Because of the blood covenant God made with you, with just that little blood of the lamb, he forgave your sins. But now he's talking to the prisoners that were in Egypt's bondage for years and in a Babylonian bondage. He said, I will set your prisoners free, your prisoners, your family prisoners. And from the waterless pit, and I want to ask you this morning, you know what a waterless pit is? It's a pit that doesn't have any water in it. And they used to throw their prisoners down in that pit without water. And it was so deep, and it was just dirt. All they could see way up there was a little hole, and they could see the clouds, or they could see the sky. They knew what a waterless pit was. And God said, it's been so bad. And I want to ask you this morning, how many of you have ever been in a waterless pit? Where you got so thirsty, you needed help so bad, but there was no one there to help you. And you're like, if I ever get out of this waterless pit, how will I get out? And if I do, when and how? How will I ever get out? And God told him, as for you, because of your blood covenant, I'm going to set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. That's what I'm going to do. And then he said, you return to your stronghold. I almost called Brother Roman this morning and said, bring me a rope and an iron bar. But I'm always kind of a last-minute person, and I thought, oh, he's probably going to be dressed and say, Pastor, I'll have to go out to the barn. He may not have, but anyway. But see, we've had such strongholds in our life, church. Paul talked about those strongholds the wicked imaginations in our minds and the things that he says and their strongholds, and they're constantly trying to pull us down and pull you away from God and yank you away from him with all it has in it. And these little toxic mind monsters, one man wrote a little book called Mind Monsters. I preached it a couple times. And these mind monsters come. What are they? They're just strongholds. They grab a hold of your mind and don't want to let go. Every negative, ugly, fearful, hateful thought, not so much against your friend, but against you. Against you. They tell us everything about ourselves that they can think of that is no good. And usually it's a lie from the devil. Because God said, you're mine, and we camp out together. Hallelujah. He said, I don't like you being in that waterless pit. Church, I tell you today, any one of you that's there right now, God does not like that. And he said, I see. I see you there. I see you looking, and you can see the sky, and you say, I think I'm starting to see a little light at the end of the tunnel. God told me to tell you that's not good enough. Because we belong to him. And he said, no, I don't want you just seeing a little light at the end of the tunnel. He said, but it's time for you to return to the stronghold. My dear God, we've been with strongholds our whole life. He's like, oh no, you get back to this stronghold. You return to this is the stronghold. So the next time that old rope from hell keeps trying to yank you back, pull you back, and pull you down, you say, no, you don't, devil. My Father's camping out with me. My Jesus died, and he brought me out of that waterless pit, and he's given me a drink every single morning when I get up. And I've grabbed a hold of this piece of steel. And I've got this steel stronghold. I've got the mind of Christ. I've got the body of Christ. He dwells in me. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Woo. And then it gets better. I'll quit in just a minute, but stay with me a minute. Verse 13. For I have, look at this. He says, I've bent Judah. And my bow fitted the bow with Ephraim. And raise up your sons, O Zion. And we'll stop right there. Listen, he has bent you and me. Did you know that? This is what some of this stuff has been about. He has bent us a little bit. Bent us on purpose. He bent us. And he said, if you find it, I bent Judah, that means his people. And my bow, oh, it fitted the bow. My bow fitted the bow with Ephraim. And I raised up your sons, O Zion. He said, now you people of God, you quit worrying, because he said, I'm going to bring your people out of the prison. Not just you out of the waterless pit, but I'm bringing your people, your prisoners out. And he said, I have fit you and I bent your bow. And I've raised up your sons. And your daughters. And you say, you don't know where my son and daughter is. But God does. He does. He does. He does. But he said, I'll be against your sons, O Greece. And made you like the sword of a mighty man. I mean, he's just flipping back and forth like this. He said, I'm against Greece because they were against you. See, there's people that's against you. And against your children and your children's children. But then he goes right back and he says, but I made you like the sword of a mighty man, O people of God. You're a mighty sword. Why? Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we have the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of the Lord. It's the word of God. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I tell you, folks, we are going to be absolutely surprised or shocked. I can use the word shocked. As this word in 2021 starts to come out of our mouth, like a two-edged sword. And it's going to cut here and it's going to cut there. It's going to cut here a little and there a little. And there isn't anything you can do about it. It really wasn't you. It was the Holy Spirit that came up out of you. And you're like, what? Where did that come from? Because now it was just me. It was just me. Verse 14. Look at this. Then, somebody say then. After all that, your blood covenant, what Jesus did, he already came. He already rode into Jerusalem. He already dealt with stuff. He's already delivered the prisoners of hope. Keep your hope. It doesn't matter where you are. Be a prisoner of hope. Have the right stronghold. Return to your stronghold, Jesus. But always, even if you're, we got to be prisoners of one thing, and that's a prisoner of hope. Even when my husband and daughter died, I tell you with all confidence, Sarah is my witness, and many of you, Linda too, I'm telling you, my blessed assurance was hope. I didn't know what that meant, but I knew I had hope. Then, he says, then the Lord will be seen over you, over all the people of God, Isaiah 60. Then the Lord will be seen over you, and his arrow will go forth. How? Wait a minute. His arrow will go forth, and where are the arrows? His arrows will go forth like what? Oh, my God. In the book of Revelation, how did it say, I'm going to ask you, how did it say Satan fell from heaven? He fell like lightning, but he's a liar and the father of lies. And God said, I let him fall into his own doom. But in this last day, it won't be him that's the lightning. It will be you and me. And we will overwhelm that lightning rod of hell. And they are going to be shocked and overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being overwhelmed. I want hell overwhelmed because of us. Woo! The Lord will blow the trumpets. This thing is so full, I can't even stand it. You go over into the New Testament and it says, every trumpet must make a certain sound, Paul said. If the trumpet doesn't make a certain sound, then what's the world going to think? I mean, if the church talks out of both corners of her mouth and we don't know what we believe, that's not a certain sound. Brought that little verse. Posted it on Facebook the other day where they said, Jesus, Herod's coming to kill you. And I've seen some people of God that are so righteous, they come on Facebook and they say, I don't call anyone by names. I don't want to say, you phony baloney. I've heard you call names. When you want to impress somebody, maybe. But Jesus said, they said, Herod's come to kill you. And Jesus said, you go tell that fox that today I do cures. Tomorrow I cast out devils, and the third day I will be perfected. Hallelujah. So see, Jesus made a certain sound. And somebody wrote back and commented on that when Jesus said, go tell that fox what I do. They said, and I think it was my cousin in Texas, he said, but Pastor, if we don't see Jesus directly said it so people didn't mince any of his words. They couldn't say, we don't know what you're talking about, because he just said it. So be sure that we're sweet and kind and nice and don't yell like I'm doing today, but talk nice. But you are a lightning rod, and this trumpet must make a certain sound. Make sure we're not talking out of both corners of our mouth. And he said, go with the whirlwinds from the south. Verse 15, the Lord of hosts will defend who? Us. Yeah, them, but he means us. Now, I close with this. Oh, my gosh. He brings it home to us. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones. Sling stones. Giants, we become the little Davids with sling stones. You know what our sling stones are? It's not going to be a stone you're going to throw and hit somebody. It's going to be the prayers of our heart. God will put certain prayers inside you to pray during the day. And when you feel a prayer, just go somewhere and say it. Just do it. Don't think about it. Just go say it, because God may want to accomplish something in you. So get your sling stones, your prayers. And then it says they drink. They shall drink and roar as with wine. They shall be filled with blood like basins. Now, when he talks about that wine, remember in the book of Acts chapter 2, it said they were saying, oh, they're all drunk when the Holy Ghost came. Peter said, they're not drunk like you think. They are filled with new wine. And Jesus said, don't you drink wine, but you be filled with new wine. All right, so they drink, and you and I will roar again as if we're drunk. And people will say the church is drunk on this wine. Verse 16, and the Lord their God will save them when? That day, at the end of time, right now. The Lord will save them at that day from the waterless pit as the flock of his people. For they shall be like the jewels of a crown. That's pure beauty. Pure beauty. I don't think we've been so beautiful, but he said, oh, you will be in this hour. Like a banner over his land, lifted like a banner over his land. And how great is his goodness. And how great its beauty. What beauty? The beauty of the church. He said, right now when everything's been so dark and ugly and filth and lawlessness, he said, my church, my people will be beautiful. Hang with the flock, folks. Stay close to the flock. Song of Solomon. Let me say this. Song of Solomon. The girl he loved came and she starts to fall in love with him. And she says, oh, king, where do you feed your flock? And he says, oh, I feed it at noonday over by my pastor. She said, go and stay there. Stay close to the shepherd's tent. And this tent, this is an old tent. And the Lord gave me this tent and called me to this tent. I tell you that belong to Landmark, and guest, anyone can come. I mean, anyone, come on in here, you're fine. We welcome you. I was in here praying Friday afternoon. Those doors were open, and I looked across the street. And as you leave, you'll see a little shotgun shack of a house or little place, little building. It's red, white, and blue. There's a little office, and it's a car wash. When we first opened the church down at the other building, we had no office. And somebody in the church let us have that. The Cobbs let us have that building and that little place. And they said, what do you want with this little building? I said, I'd love to have a prayer chapel. And they made a prayer chapel and put carpet on the floors and altars and indirect lighting. And it was beautiful. A little chair with an ottoman. And I went in there 6 hours a day and prayed there with just a bottle of water. Didn't go to lunch with anyone. Stayed there and prayed. And I looked right through those doors and I could see it. And you know what I was praying for in those days? It was right after the accident that happened in 87. I was there in 88 and 89. I was praying for revival. I was praying to know the Holy Spirit is my comforter. I was praying, God, what do we do? We already had, we didn't even have the church started yet. I said, Lord, I feel a change coming. What are we going to do? And he began to minister, and here we have this plot of land now. And it was right across the street, and I had no idea. But I still know everything that he told me there is going to come here. One night we had prayer meetings every Thursday night, and it was packed. That little building was packed. In the summertime, water would just run down your arms. In the wintertime, we'd have heaters all over trying to warm us up. So one night, one of our girls, it was too crowded to come in, and she was in the office. A few people were in there praying, and she started folding over with her stomach, just having great pains, abdominal pains. And she was just folding and hurting, the Lord spoke to her and said, those are not physical pains. Those are birth pains. The church will go through birth pains before I come, before I appear to them, before I manifest my glory. The Ed walks in there. Do you remember that, Ed? He had been in the prayer meeting. He walked out and into that office. And when he walked in, I think it went like this. He said to her, this church is getting ready to go through some birth pains. We're going to have birth pains. And he didn't know what the Lord had just spoke to her while she was bent over having birth pains. I'm telling you, church, the glory of the Lord is upon this house. His name is forever upon us. I've had birth pangs. You've had birth pangs. This body, these past 2 years, have had birth pangs. And I can't even tell you about the birth pangs this church has had the past 10 years. I mean, it's been amazing. But it's all right. It'll be worth the price. All right, let me close. So the flock of his people, and they all will be like jewels of a crown, like a banner over his land. How great is this goodness and how great is this beauty? Grain shall make the young men thrive, and new wine the young women. Young men, old men, let me tell you something, men. You're going to see dreams, and you're going to have visions, and you may as well prepare. And when you awake, and you had that dream, man, sir, and you had that vision, ask the Lord, what was that about, Lord? What was that? Did that mean anything? And then it says, women, you will be, and the new wine, the young women. You young women, it will be the new wine that stirs your heart. It will be new wine that stirs up the Bible prophecies in you. He said, my handmaidens will prophesy. My old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. Church, it's upon us. Stacy, you're not going through this, honey, for nothing. Let me tell you that. You'll see you are a prisoner of hope right now, so you hold on to that stronghold. Church, return to the stronghold. Stand tall, be strong, and move into holiness. Amen. Stand on your feet today. Woo, bless the Lord. Now listen, if there's any sin in your life, you need to get it out like right now. Don't let it go. If you're doing things you know are wrong, just stop. Grab a hold of the right stronghold and do what you got to do, but fix the thing. If you can't get rid of it by yourself, just you and Jesus, then come on in and talk to me. I'll be here for you. Go to one of the brothers in the church and tell them, look, I'm dealing with this. Go to one of the sisters. Now, don't go to a gossiper. Don't go to somebody that's going to tell your tale. But I'm telling you, we know how to pray in this house. And we'll get you past that thing. But if there's something you can do, you need to do it. Don't you be messing around. Don't you be messing around with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You're either married or you're not. Okay, so fix what you got to fix. Don't be drinking the old wine. You don't need it. The Bible says the old wine is for the man who is perishing. It's for the woman on her way to hell. She needs a little wine. It's all she's got. Illicit relationships are for the people of God. That's for those who are perishing. Not you. The holy man, woman of God. You're watching pornography, you better stop now or you'll be in that group so lukewarm you won't even know when the glory comes. God is calling the lukewarm. But you don't never want to hear him say, I'm against the lukewarm. I cast you out. Because we are living in the days Jesus already came, and he left the Holy Spirit to help us. The days of judgment and the day of salvation. You know what salvation means? It means deliverance. Salvation is full of healing. Healing was in the atonement. Healing, deliverance, blessings. Oh, I missed it. Let me give you one word. How did I miss that? Oh, listen today in verse 12. It says, return to your strongholds, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. I will restore double. You know what? I wrote that down in my notes and I said, God says that he will give you double blessings. He said, no, I didn't say that. Erase that word blessings. And I deleted blessings. He said, I didn't say that. Don't add words. I said, I will give you double. Period. I guess that's just double anywhere. You came out of a waterless pit. I'll give you double. When your child gets saved, they make him a preacher. Or when you've been in poverty, I'll make you wealthy. You've been going through this, I'm going to give you double. See, blessings would just pull it down to, oh, that was a sweet blessing. No, double is double, man. It's just double. It's just double. You've had depression? No, I'll give you a doubly strong mind. Nah, return to the stronghold, church. Lift your hands and give him praise today. Come on. Woo, hallelujah. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Double, Lord. Oh, thank you for your blood covenant. Lord, thank you for your blood. Thank you for coming, Jesus. Thank you for bringing somebody out of the pit. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. If you're not sure about yourself, you just say, Pastor, I've been in that waterless pit. My mind has been so fogged in, I don't know what I need, Pastor, but I just need. I don't know, but I need double. Would you just come down here with me? Come on, hurry up. Don't even think about it. Just hurry. Hurry, come on. Don't think about it. Just come down here. Don't get embarrassed. If I had gotten embarrassed when my pastor called, I would still have a messed up, wearied, mind full of anxiety and fear and depression. But I didn't care what anyone thought. I just wanted to get free, and I wanted to get double. Somebody needs to come. Come on, this isn't all there is. This isn't all there is. Somebody said, I've been in a waterless pit. Pastor, I've slid back. I'm not where I used to be. Now I'm not where I once was, but I'm going to be. Come on. Jesus said, I'm going to camp out with you. Come on. He said, I want to camp. Come on, be a part. Father, look at your precious people. Come on, if there's anyone else, we're going to change the order of service. If there's anyone else, you need to get down here right now. These are saying, I've had it. I don't want it anymore like that. I need a change, Lord. I need a change. I need a change. Glory to God. Glory to God. Is there anybody else? You want to come? I'm just telling you, make things right today. Make things right on this day. 3/28/21, make things right with Jesus today. Get your salvation today. Get your deliverance today. Hallelujah. Brother Cedro, move on over here a little bit with us, would you? Anyone else want to come? All right, I need some of you that really believe God. I want you just to step up just a few feet behind these and help me pray, would you? Come on, you believe God? Come on, just step back a few feet behind and say, God, do for them what you did for me. Do for them what you did for me. God, one time I was so tore up I didn't know what to do, but do for them what you did for me. You can't touch them, guys. Don't touch them. Just back up a little bit, not too close. Come on, touch. Touch, Lord. Coming out, honey. like this. More than the words, more than the air I breathe.
More than the song I sing.
Yeah, more than the song.
More than the next part.
Oh, we need you more than that, Lord.
More than anything. And no one has time to try.
We'll be right by your side, oh God. Never, brother.
More than words to say, I need you more.
Never, honey, never.
Never, never more than words to say, I need you more. I need you more.
Shura la ba kasura la ba. Shura la ba kasira la ba. Uriasa, we bless the Lord. We bless your name, O Lord. Shura la maha sara la baha. Shura la basira la baha. For I would say to you, my people, I am closer to you than you'll ever know. Only call unto the Lord your God, knowing that I am there for you. Every day, every night, every moment, I'm with you. I will never leave you. I told you I would never forsake you. Others have left you. Others have rejected you. But I will never reject you. I will never turn away from you, saith the Lord. For you are mine. And I knew you from your mother's womb. I saw you when you were a little guy. I saw you when you were a little girl. And I saw the pain and I saw the hurt. And I see what you're going through now. For the Lord has seen. The Lord has seen. And the Lord will be there to bring you up and deliver you, saith God. I will take you there. I will take you there. There is a place called there that Moses was at. I will lead you to the top of the mountain where I am. There, meet me. Meet me there at the secret place I've called you to. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Cause I never want to go to my own mind. No, we never do.
Cause I never
want to go back. Cause I never want to go back.
I never want to go back to my own mind.
I need you more.
Hallelujah. Father, it's been good to be in your house today. I bless your name. Would you just lift up your hand and say, thank you, Father. Oh, God, make us that jewel in your crown. They will see. But Lord, help us all to be on the side of your double. Lord, when judgment comes, it will destroy, it will tear down. But for your people, it will build up. It will build up. It will build up. And I'm thanking you, Lord, for the wine. I'm thanking you for the new wine. Lord, there's so much old wine around. There's so much old drugs around, and the old drugs act like old wine. But Lord, I pray for holy boldness on your church, that we stretch forth our hands to heal. We stretch forth our hands to deliver in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, bless your people. I bless you in the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Turn his face toward you and give you peace. May he bless your home and bless your loved ones. And if you have prisoners in your house, may he set them free as well. I bless your pocketbook. Bless your money. May you find money that comes in the mail right out of nowhere. May he bless your testimony and may your trumpet make a certain sound. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord.